Did you hear it in there? That verse? That one verse you know so well? Did your brain kick in and finish it along with Brooklyn as she read it? Mine did. For God so loved the world that he gave... See, you know it. John 3:16. Arguably, the most famous verse of Scripture. And what's interesting is that when we began the reading, meeting this character named Nicodemus, none of you, I bet, were waiting for 3:16 to be right there in the middle of it. Right? It's almost surprising to us when we hear it. It's funny that we forget that this verse is actually part of a much greater whole. So it's really important for us to pay attention and hear the stuff that's around it. Nicodemus, he is a Pharisee, a leader, a man of power in the community, of the group who were loudly, sometimes violently, opposed to Jesus and the stuff he was doing. Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of night, which is the first play of light and darkness within this reading, but certainly not within the Gospel of John so far. Nicodemus is an interesting guy, in some ways kind of ambiguous. Some scholars argue that he comes in the night because he is a Pharisee, supposed to be against Jesus. So he's not wanting to jeopardize his position, but you know that he's so intrigued by Jesus that he just has to meet him. It seems like he's got the beginnings of faith happening and he's seeking. But then I also read, however, that some scholars argue he might be there to try and trick Jesus. Might be there to test him. But whatever his motives are, the conversation is really rather interesting. And as we are becoming accustomed, Jesus speaks in more riddles than answers. And poor Nicodemus gets tripped up along the way, having to ask if an old person couldn't go back into the womb to be born again because he can't get his mind out of the literal. I should note that whatever Nicodemus's motives are in this moment, as the gospel progresses, he really does seem to come out in support of Jesus, this rebel. In chapter 7, Nicodemus will stand up for Jesus at the Jewish ruling council. And then in chapter 19, he shows up and helps Joseph of Arimathea to prepare Jesus' body for burial. But on this night, the conversation that goes on between these two has a lot of theological weight to it. And it feels like a lot to unpack in just a few minutes. So I begin by saying, suffice it to say, that what follows in this section has given millions of Christians reasons to believe in being born again, reasons to believe that only some Christians are quote-unquote saved, and reasons to believe that the good and bad things that we do in this life are weighted and noted and have the power to get us either to heaven or hell. People pack a lot of justifying their beliefs into a few of these short verses. But here is why I have some trouble with it. So stick with me. You're going to have to stick with me for a minute here. If I read you these sentences without context, then see what happens. A seashore is a better place than the street because you need lots of room. At first, it's better to run than to walk. You may have to try several times. It takes some skill, but it's easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it, birds seldom get too close. If there are no snakes, it can be very peaceful. But if it breaks loose, you won't get another chance. Kind of confusing, right? However, if I give you some context, and in this case, all you really need is a word. What word did you think it was? Yeah, good girl. I didn't get it that far. The word is kite. So then things start to fall into place, right? So if I say the word kite, and then again, a seashore is a better place than the street because you need lots of room. At first, it is better to run than to walk. You may have to try several times. It takes some skill, but it's easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it. Birds seldom get too close. If there are no snags, it can be very peaceful, but if it breaks loose, you won't get another chance. And all of a sudden, those sentences that seemed so kind of random put together, they make sense, right? Well, similarly, when you take a single verse of scripture and you put it on a sign and you wave it around, well, it's pretty easy to manipulate that into meaning whatever you want it to mean. It loses its context. For example, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. I will bet you that you have seen that on billboards driving along the side of the highway, right? I'm not the only one. And I have to tell you that when I see this verse of scripture, and to be honest, basically every other verse of scripture that somebody feels the need to post on the side of a highway, even as a pastor and a faithful believer, it ends up sounding more like a threat to me than it does good news. And I can't help but wonder why that beautiful verse of scripture gets torn away from its neighbor. Because verse 17, which you don't know by heart, is this. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now that sounds like good news. So we put them together, and they sound like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Well, when you read those two verses together within the context of Jesus trying to give some explanation of his life and ministry to this Pharisee named Nicodemus, well, then it all sounds much different. And it sounds like very good news. It even sounds like the gospel. All of the things that Jesus talks about in these verses have the ability to sound threatening, so that everyone who believes. He says in other parts, this is the judgment. He says, those who do evil hate the light and don't seek it out so that their deeds aren't exposed. Well, I mean, I think that's true because I know that when I've done something wrong, my knee-jerk reaction is never to take a light and shine it on it, right? But in focusing on those little sections, we miss the contrasting sections that all point not at what we do, but what God is doing. Jesus says that we are born anew through water and the Spirit. Water alone is not enough. God is involved. And we leave ourselves hanging on who believes, and then miss the part where Jesus says that the Son came into the world so that the world might be saved through him. Through him, not through our belief, but through him. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, in order that the world might be saved through him. Editor's note here, if you want to know what the world looks like, then come back next week to hear the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And you'll see once again that for Jesus, it's never about who's on the right or wrong side of the line, who's in or out, who's right or wrong. For Jesus, the only thing that matters is love, the kind of love that accomplishes his mission, that the world might be saved through him. And because of that, we don't have to worry if our belief is perfect enough or if our deeds are saintly enough, because the work of saving, well, it isn't ours. It's Jesus's work. Our work is to be like Nicodemus, to keep coming back to Jesus, to continue to nurture the faith growing inside of us, to be a voice for those in their time of need, to serve the needs of others, like the holy work that Nicodemus does when he helps to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And then sometimes our work is to not get caught up in poster board theology, which is almost always used to shame or incite fear or judge. Instead, we need to be mindful that when it comes to saving, it's never about what we do. It is always about what God does, which is to become a part of God's creation as flesh and blood, as a person whose life taught us everything we need to know about God, and whose resurrection showed us everything we need to know about redemption. God loves this world. God loves this world so much that God sent God's only Son into it, so that everyone who knows him will not perish, but have eternal life. And God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn it, but that the whole world would be saved through him. Jesus is the light of this world, and darkness cannot overcome it. Amen.